Hi everybody, my name is Bryce Rankins and you're listening to episode 5 of Sneaky Geek.
Nintendo Entertainment System. Now you're playing with power.
Hi, everybody. My name is Bryce Rankins, and you're listening to Sneaky Geek. And I'm joined here today with Brian Romero, my co-host.
Hello.
And our special guest, Nick Frato, who is our resident console gaming historian.
Yes, yes. Quite all right, yes.
Yeah, okay. We
wouldn't necessarily. It's on his business card, yeah. If you ever get around
throw
to it.
Throw it down.
Yeah.
We wouldn't necessarily call him a fanboy per se because he's much more education-based than that.
Yeah, I like to float on both sides. I don't just stick. I can't do this.
You go both ways.
I do. I do not pledge allegiance to Microsoft. I don't pledge allegiance to Sony nor Nintendo. Or Sega, but I know a lot, and I'm happy to share my insight and through the past years, all my collectibility knowledge in the video game industry. So happy to be here.
Sweet,
cool. Which I really appreciate right now because if we're gonna be talking gatekeeper stuff, which is kind of the shtick of this podcast, one of the big gatekeepery things you're gonna get is you're an Xbox gamer or you're
PS4, whatever
your
is going
PS4,
on right now.
PS4, yeah. Your PlayStation, Sony, you know,
Microsoft,
your PlayStation, yeah. you know, console master race or whatever,
yeah.
You know, you not or rather PC master race. Yeah. No one in consoles calls themselves the master race. They know, but everyone's got their loyalties and they feel like they can defend one over the other.
No, of course.
And I certainly was guilty of that when I was a kid. You know, I didn't like somebody trash talking my N64, so naturally
I found
ways to feel superior to the PlayStation, which. Graphically, I won, except I didn't get any good cinematics.
Not on a cartridge, unfortunately.
No. Yeah. And that really fell by the wayside when the GameCube came out. Things started to fall apart as far as whether or not being the Nintendo guy, which I had been my whole life, mm-hmm. had ever done. Yeah. What is your favorite console? What console gave you the best memories?
Ooh. Oh, this is tough. Now, hands down, and I said this earlier, the Sega Dreamcast. I know this episode's about Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I'll get way further into detail about the N64 because that actually was my first 64-bit console.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the PlayStation. It was straight to the 64. But something about the Dreamcast being extra special, the last leg of the Sega push. Yeah, it was a console that I got on Christmas unknowingly
mm-hmm.
in 1999 during the special release of 9999.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that. Yeah, they did that on purpose. It didn't. It helped them for about like a couple weeks, and then it just was like, okay, we're going nowhere.
Sold out.
Did you have Jet Set Radio?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Are you
selling? Are you a fan of the GGs? Speaking of Jet Set Radio, and I'm random tangent. Can we just talk about how ridiculous it was that they sent out an entire army and like tanks and helicopters after a kid who just spray painted a wall? Like you're running around Tokyo, you're spray painting, and then you get the National Guard after you. Like
right.
The realism there. Just
out the
president. Yeah, Jet Set Radio was one of my favorite games. Beat the heck out of it. Soul Calibur, of course. Power Stone.
Yes.
Sonic Adventure through and through.
There were some solid games on that.
I mean, you gotta go. I mean, Sega GT Rally.
Yeah.
We, you know, the obscure rhythm games, Space Channel 5.
Space Channel 5. I remember when Space Channel 5 was advertised in Game Informer when they were still in the really like skinny magazine.
Yeah.
Format. It just looked so ridiculous.
I have a huge crush on Ooh La La.
I think everybody who saw Ooh La La or any of them had a huge crush on
Michael Jackson was in there. It was a cameo.
Was
yeah,
he?
Space Michael, they call
Space
him.
Space Michael.
Yeah, you had to save Space Michael.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, no, Dreamcast was awesome. But because this episode is, you know, focused heavily on Nintendo, I will backtrack and say N64. Come on, guys. Best memories we've had growing up. Four-player Smash Bros., four-player GoldenEye.
Yeah.
The N64 essentially put Nintendo foremost ahead of everybody. It killed off, you know, Sega from the console war until the Dreamcast came out.
Mm-hmm.
there was no contest, in my opinion. And you could say all those Sony fanboys, you could, you know, they'll argue that you have the cinematics, you have all the capabilities that a CD-based console has.
Yeah.
But Nintendo took what they do best, and that is gaming and having these fun experiences and memories on the N64. They blew it out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I to this day, I will eat, sleep, breathe Ocarina of Time. Yeah. That's my favorite game of all time. And then one of the big, I mean, to this day, I remember seeing my neighbor play Super Mario 64. I was like, I need this console.
Yeah.
I need to play this game. This is fucking Mario.
Oh, yeah.
The Mario we know and love in a 3D space, jumping through pitchers and collecting.
Yeah. So, stars. Fun story about that. We were, my dad took me down this way because we grew up in Bakersfield. I grew up in Bakersfield. We came down for some family stuff in the valley, and we went to Fry's one day. And up on their huge, like, 9-screen, big screen thing they had going on was Mario 64. And I remember going in there and just being completely blown away by, like, just.
I can see all sides of Mario.
Yeah. Plus, it was just so huge, and I was just so small at the time.
We didn't have anything like that. It was an experience that was fresh, and it still had that charm that Nintendo, you know, is known for.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
And it pushed their already existing franchises really far, and they came up with some really good ones in the meantime in that same system. Course. But Mario, I mean, just watching, I mean, it doesn't matter that Mario has an octagon hat, because watching the ripple of when he goes through a painting is so beautiful, because we've never seen actual water animated in a game before.
No.
You know, so we don't, like, just seeing that ripple in and of itself was incredible. And I mean, I remember I begged for that game for like a month and a half. My birthday was coming up, and it had been out for years at that point.
Yeah, it was a launch game. And it was the launch game.
Yeah.
That and Wave Race 64.
Wave Race.
Speaking of water physics.
Cruising USA right afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to talk about water physics, Wave Race 64 pushed the boundaries on what water could look like in 64 bits.
Yeah.
It was one heck of a racer, and it was so minimal too. I mean, like, there was like five stages only and like four different racers, but you could play the heck out of it.
Still played it, all the time.
But yeah, it's a good point that Mario 64 is a launch game, but I feel a lot of people actually got it down the line, because I actually got it as a Christmas present versus getting it on day one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think when I got my N64, which was Christmas time, I got Diddy Kong Racing and Mario Kart. It was really, it's like, I got two racing games. I don't know how I feel about this, but I mean, if you played Diddy Kong Racing, it's an adventure game in itself.
You're
collecting
right.
all the balloons and going back and doing the races again. And again, let's just.
So your parents were out to destroy your family.
Basically.
Yeah, we got 1080, which.
Work your body.
Snowboard.
Work your body.
Work your body.
Let's talk about music. I mean, come on. Speaking of memories, the N64.
The score from. So much more. Because, I mean, the consoles themselves just started getting more advanced. They could pack more. Everything on it, better graphics, better stories, longer levels.
Yeah.
And the music for everything was just
soundtrack to Jet Force Gemini, like,
fantastic.
Man. The first time you go through that and they're explaining the level and you're like, blah, 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 and you can just make out that they're actually saying words.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my God. Like,
it's actually
there's
talking
words
to me.
On, like, being spoken to me. And, like, that happened on the Super Nintendo once in a while. You'd hear, you know,
of course,
good luck or things like that on Star Fox.
Star Fox.
But, like, a full demonstration being explained to you. And then when the expansion pack came in for the N64, and suddenly you actually had dialogue being spoken back and forth between characters, Perfect Dark, all those. Mm-hmm. And then the other one we had, other than 1080, with its fantastic soundtrack, which I've never even gotten that dang panda. I've never gotten the panda on 1080.
Speaking of obscure soundtracks on the N64, have either of you played Buck Bumble?
No.
Oh my goodness. Okay, you'll have to throw that soundtrack on at some time. But it was a mix of like UK house music.
Oh
man, it's legit. And it's. Total side tangent. I used to do mobile DJing, and I would DJ around clubs in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, I worked into my set some music from Buck Bumble.
Hell yeah.
Because no one would have known it came from this video game where you're a James Bond Bumblebee essentially getting pollen and fighting off these like random insects. But yeah, no, I mean the music,
legit soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever have Army Man 64?
Oh yes, I did.
See, that was my other game. It was 1080, and it was Army Man 64. And Army Man 64 soundtrack is like The Great Escape meets something. I don't even meets. I don't know, any military film ever, but it's, you know, just the sound design of the explosions and everything else, like the first time hearing all that and being in a third person shooter instead of just your usual, you know, because, you know, Doom, you can't even
Don't wreck on Doom, though.
No, but on Doom, you can't point up or down. Your gun just shoots. If you're in your line of sight on the X-axis, then you'll hit them, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas in this, like, suddenly you're going to have to pull out your sniper rifle. My brothers and I are obsessed with sniper games. Sniper, Silent Scope.
I can't speak English at all. That arcade game, was it Silent Scope?
Silent Scope.
Where you, why am I saying, like, Sulfur Scope? Sulfur Scope?
It just smells really bad. No, Silent Scope, where you have the arcade, has the big screen. And then,
did you cheat and not look through the scope and actually, because you could, just look at the screen and they had the what was in the scope view?
Oh, no.
That's how you did it faster. I think the pros did it that way, but like if you wanted the full
I'm all about the experience. I'm always about the experience.
So you, you're like the movie Shooter as Mark Wahlberg looking in that scope, like ready to
I would do a little bit of both, but I would never check the screen's magnification. I would be looking at like where I need to be looking on the screen, and then I would check back on the scope and get them out.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I mean, yeah, I we're talking about all these things, and that's what made the N64 so great, and that's what makes Nintendo as a company awesome. You have so many great memories, and they were the powerhouse before Sega tried to dethrone them during the 90s, during the console wars between Genesis and Super Nintendo. They were always known as the video game company. They brought us back from the drought. Video games as a whole almost died after, you know, Atari and E.T.
Right.
E.T. All those landfill games. But and it was sad. It's like after the N64, they kind of forgot who they were. And we'll talk about this, you know, bit. But the GameCube kind of was lost in limbo because now you had these other, you had Sony and Microsoft making better graphics and like high-powered machines,
right,
utilizing their third-party support. And Nintendo didn't really have that. Nintendo was a first-party company and through. They were still Nintendo Quality Seal and
But
now they had actual
competition.
Competition, right.
Right. Well, here, but before we get too far into all that, let's real quick. Brian, what's your favorite console?
Oh,
what console gives you do you have the best memories with?
Super Nintendo or the 64? So here's the thing: I got the Nintendo in like 92, 93, and I got my Game Boy shortly after that.
Never owned a Game Boy.
Oh man, I was all about it.
I've never owned a Game Boy.
Did you own a Game Gear?
No.
Did you? You Any had handheld? No portable handheld.
I had no portable one. My brother had a portable one when he got into like middle school. And
what was it?
It was a Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
And, so, I borrowed that, and I have played original Game Boy games on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then my sister wound up in high school, I think, getting a DS, and so I played games on hers.
Oh, okay.
And so I've played a number of
but you yourself
titles, but I've never actually owned one.
No. See, like, my aunt was kind of into like the video game stuff a little bit, and she actually got me my Game Boy for my birthday. I don't know, it was like 6 or 7.
Oh man.
But I played hers a bunch before that, and was into it. Got mine. So actually, yeah, I'm going to change my answer. The Game Boy, the original Game Boy, was like probably my all-time favorite. And I still have it. I think it's somewhere in my room.
The brick? The four battery?
Yep. The big gray Donkey Kong in sepia tone.
Oh, yeah.
With Tetris.
With Tetris.
You know, like, you had the Game Gear, which had a backlight and color, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why did it take up until the Game Boy Advance SP for Nintendo to realize that we don't want to tilt our Game Boys into the sun to see the image.
Right.
But yet we still played it. And I went back to play I picked up a Game Boy Pocket the other day, which was the next step after the original Game Boy.
Right. I remember. Slips right into that pocket. And you can get a crystal blue version if you're really, really lucky.
And I was playing it, and I just realized how awful this was to play, because you really have to play in light, like over a lamp at your desk.
Yeah, that's why you get the little lamp attachment that goes
which
over
I
the
did.
Top.
You did? The swivel?
We didn't have the swivel. It was a magnifying glass over the top with a backlight onto it.
I had that as well for the Game Boy.
And then I also had a battery pack you slip into the bottom. So I was set. So it, like,
it,
I was...
Yeah, it pulled from the...
Yeah, but that, I think playing into that whole, like, why would Nintendo wait to update their system, they were focused on the games. There were some solid games on the Game Boy where they didn't necessarily have
Nintendo
to focus...
Nintendo had a much bigger hand in their own game making.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they didn't necessarily have to focus on making the hardware better because their software was on point.
Speaking of licensed games, I think the Game Boy had the largest library of licensed and third-party games out of any Nintendo console. If you believe it, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to check that.
Nintendo 64 only had 296 games domestically total, which is very small for a console, especially the 64 lasted from 96 to about 2001, 2002. Yep. So that's 7 years, and that's all they had.
Yeah.
Whereas the Game Boy upward thousands.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so many crap games were made, but they were made nonetheless because everyone owned a Game Boy.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, that it was pretty much outselling the NES before Super Nintendo came out.
Yeah.
When people called,
all my friends had.
You referred to your handheld device as a Game Boy. You never heard.
That's true.
Anyone, like, my mom, I had a Game Gear. That was honestly my first handheld.
Yeah.
Six batteries, disgusting. I had to get a charger for that. Great games on it, but... At the end of the day, my mom would say, go grab your Game Boy.
It suffered. Everything else suffered from that genericide or genre side, whatever, that everything gets called a Game Boy and everything gets called a Nintendo.
A Nintendo.
And I remember at one point there's actually an advertisement out there that says, you know, it's not a Nintendo. It is Nintendo. And it is a like an experience, blah, blah, blah. And it's very pretentious, to be perfectly honest. but it's them kind of saying, like, you don't call it, it's not. This system is not the Nintendo. This is the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yes.
Nintendo is this bigger thing.
Is the company.
As they were trying to push. And you know what? Every mom calls it a Nintendo.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go get a place. I'm going to go play PlayStation. Turn off the Nintendo. Oh, here we are. I'm going to go turn on my 3DO. You're going to call it the Nintendo.
3DO.
Everybody's calling everything the Nintendo at this point because they cornered the market. No one's calling the Nintendo Entertainment System the Atari.
The PlayStation.
And if it's portable, it's a Game Boy.
Yes.
And I up until very recently started calling it a DS, but I was like, yeah, it's a Game Boy DS, right?
I still call my 2DS, like, I'll refer to it as the Game Boy. The new Game Boy.
It's the new.
Because
it's
what it is.
It's a voice of a new generation.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people, well, we might talk about this later, not a lot of people have the DS or the 3DS or the 2DS. I have the 2DS, but... So when you call it like the DS, I got my DS. I'm like, what the hell is a DS? I'm like, it's the new Game Boy. And it's like, oh.
Okay. Everyone's playing on their phones, but mobile games aside,
no
one cares. Bryce, tell us, come on.
Yeah.
Best memories.
As much as, like, I don't know if it's got to be, it's different for me because I have two older siblings and my younger sister, Bridget, who's really just my another older sibling because she's far more mature than I have ever been. She... My older sisters and I, or my older brother and sister and I, we played on the Super Nintendo. I remember when we got Donkey Kong Country and my brother and I played that for hours. I remember when we rented Mega Man the first time and we had to call his buddy Ricardo and be like, how do we beat Chill Penguin? Which you saw me take care of
just now,
not even get hit. The first time we played Link to the Past and rented it, and like that next day we're like, Mom, we will do anything you need. Just get us this game from Toys R Us.
It's an experience.
Can I stop you there for a second? Where did you rent that game from?
I rented it from Albertsons.
Yes.
I rented it from Albertsons Grocer.
You could rent games at Albertsons?
Oh, you could rent games
at grocery stores.
And VHS tapes.
Nuh-uh. Yeah. I call no.
Yeah, I rented Mega Man
Maybe
X the first
Illinois
time from there.
Did not experience this at all.
Link to the Past from there. I rented this other
games.
One called.
Was it the Produce? Where did
like
they? Where did
there
where
was
did
a
you
full
rent
inter, like?
Was this pre?
Video?
This is predating like Redbox.
Oh yeah.
So
years.
you go to the
years.
So you pick up your meat. You go to the pharmacy and be like, oh, where
well,
can
your
I get me?
Grocery
where can I get my
right,
fix
it was right
here?
Next to
checkout.
The little bank. Like, it was a little.
Do they have kiosks
outpost.
For you to play and test or no?
No. But what was cool about that is because it was a grocery store which was pretty local. Nobody really cared if you like put things into the game boxes when you returned them. So we would we'd get Mortal Kombat. Somebody had written all of the codes on a piece of line paper and stashed it in the Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I remember.
And so we kept it in there, and like we'd write codes and stuff like for future gamers and stuff. It was like the first gaming community, man.
It's a floating notebook. It was like a Reddit thread.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like nowadays when you have a problem, you just look up, you know, game facts or something and somebody solved it for you. And back then it was, you know, like I remember my dad brought home a stack of papers one day and I'm like, what is that? And he goes, I got every map to Wolfenstein. Wow. And we were like, what? And it had been printed in X's and O's on like peel off the dotted perperations on the side.
Sounds
paper.
About right.
And somebody at work had gotten a hold of it and it just had been passed along from person to person being printed and sent in these on these like floppy disks that had just been traded across America.
That's awesome.
And like, you know, this was a time when gaming wasn't. So there's that period of my life. But then I have two younger siblings, Brenner and Brianna, who are 7 and 8 years younger than I am. So when the 64 came out, that's all my memories, like that's a whole different section of gaming because now I have 4-player, which didn't really matter at the time, but now I've got 6 kids in my family. Mm-hmm. So I've got Army Men. Army Men's 4-player is fantastic. GoldenEye when it comes out. Perfect Dark. Everyone gives GoldenEye like top props for how good of a multiplayer shooter is. But Perfect Dark blows that shit out of the water, hands down, in every single department. Except for the fact that you don't play James Bond.
Well, that's the thing. You realize that was supposed to be the sequel to GoldenEye.
Right.
So Rare didn't have... It was something with their contracts where they couldn't re-sign the Bond license in time while that was being developed. Mm-hmm. So they had to build an original idea and script and characters and
really
Perfect Dark. The engine's 100% the exact same as GoldenEye. Exact same. Yeah. And some of the sounds are recycled. If you see some of the animations when you shoot a guy in the shoulder, yet he holds his crotch and like falls to the ground and dies.
Yeah.
Like
some
recycled.
Of the same mistakes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
See, and one of the things with Perfect Dark that I also like is it takes everything that GoldenEye had for multiplayer and it expands upon it, not just in like weapons and stuff, but like there's challenge modes. You can create like different personalities for your bots that are fighting against you.
I think it was because they weren't restricted to the bomb license.
Yeah, I mean, but if you wanted some, like there's the judge sim, and the judge sim will find the person who has killed the most and will hunt that person down in the multiplayer match. There's the coward sim, never stops running. And then there's the one that goes after the strongest. And like there's all these different aspects to the game that you can manipulate what you're fighting against.
I don't remember that. All that. Yeah.
Like, oh, I remember playing
he
it a bunch,
played
but,
Perfect Dark religiously. And my older sister, who at that point had like college crap to worry about, like she still jokes about manning the box. Because in the first level of Perfect Dark, there's this floating box that comes with you. And he will follow you down and wind up getting hurt if you don't like block him. And so on co-op, my brother would have her sit in the elevator and block the box from like following him out so that he could go take care of crap. And then she'd be like, okay, we're clear. Because otherwise the box would follow the person who was the furthest forward.
Oh, wow.
So like, I don't know. I just have a ton of memories from Perfect Dark. But both, up until PlayStation 2, I never had anything that wasn't a Nintendo. Oh. I never had a Sega. I had a Super Nintendo. I had a Nintendo 64. And then when in my junior year of high school, I bought a used original Nintendo. And NES, eventually I got a PS2 and I never went back to Nintendo until I got a used Wii on like my birthday.
My first console was the NES. I was 4 years old at the time. It wasn't mine proper. It was my father's. And he had Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt and then this weird like painting
Mario Paint
adapter. No, Mario Paint was Super Nintendo. It was something completely different. Nintendo. Yeah, and you could hook it up to the NES. So I would play Mario, I mean, as a 4-year-old, so I'm barely remembering anything. Yeah. But my first official console was the Sega Genesis, and I kind of was in the middle of that war.
Mm-hmm.
And I did float towards the Genesis, because that's all I knew.
I had a couple friends that were like that, yeah.
My dad bought the 32X adapter. We had Sega Channel, and I played the heck out of Sega Channel, where it was the first video game on demand. Huh. Every month you would get... new games, some demos for what's to come, and it would just refresh. And it was, you hook it up to your cable box through your system.
Oh, wow.
And that's the thing. Genesis had so many adaptations, and Tower of Power, the Sega CD 32X.
Yeah, I remember that,
That was Sega's downfall in the long run, but they catered more.
Super Nintendo did that, too. There's an entire Zelda game that exists that was basically an internet-like download with this like ancient stone tablets game existed for... the Super Nintendo, and it was like a Japanese only thing. Because Super Nintendo, if you look at the bottom of it, has the extra attachment, like ports, you know, there's all those extra things, like what the hell does this plug into? And the 64 has it too.
They were going to do something similar to the Sega CD. They were going to have a, they were going to work with Sony actually. There's a whole thing, and we get into the history. They almost had a partnership with Sony, and it was going to be the Nintendo PlayStation, not the Sony PlayStation, before PlayStation decided to just run off and do it themselves.
Do their own thing,
I didn't realize that Sega and the 32X and all that had done that stateside, because as far as I knew, all those really cool attachments always wound up being just Japanese exclusives.
No. They Sega of Japan wanted them to be. They were more inclined to have these things. Sega of America, Tom Kalinske and gang, they didn't like it. They
That's why there's recommend no CD console, attachment for the
PlayStation. Recommend 64. Reading Console Wars, by the way.
I heard it's really good.
It goes in a great deep dive of the history of Nintendo and Sega during that prime time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about the industry then. I mean,
gaming industry.
Let's go back to the very beginning. Nintendo is created in 1889.
Great year.
And oh yeah,
great totally year for great year. For console games in general.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Not at all because
no, not at all. Nope.
Because the Nintendo company is a card company in Japan.
Playing cards.
Just playing cards. And then the first, I guess Pong would probably be the first instance of a game that is.
Would you say Pong or would you say Space Wars? So Space War was the first video game. If we're talking about first true video game,
yeah.
It was Space Wars. It was made at a university by a bunch of engineers, computer techies on a giant computer, where it was like a blip of light, like four people could play, and essentially they're just floating in space, and you control and shoot around, and last person standing wins. First instance of video game. Then Pong came out for the arcades, which was a coin-op, and paved way to that you know.
Which before would have been just pinball.
Right? Yeah, of course, pinball at the time.
Yeah.
Glob. Was a pinball company, Globe, or however, GLOBB.
And sure, sounds like Glob, but they might tell you differently.
Yeah. But I guess it's hard. Maybe Pong might have been the first console game, if we're thinking about it.
That's the first
and
Atari
it was on the
game,
Atari,
right?
Not the 2600, because that was a junior model of the Atari. So
the Atari Pong, which is just that. Moving forward from Atari, we get, you know, the Commodore 64, then we get another Atari, and we get a couple of other systems that have cartridges, etc. And then video games, there's a drought of some sort, right?
Yes.
Okay, talk about the
famous drought. Forgot, it was essentially, was it the late 70s when Atari, I mean, everyone was coming out with something. The fatigue set in, these were expensive. The quality was diminishing. Nobody wanted to invest in a system because watching TV in general was the form of household entertainment. And, you know, going out, people at the time were still going out, going to arcades. Arcades were, you know, still blowing up. And people, that was their form of video game entertainment. And then it kind of just hit a point, Christmas of, again, late 70s, when Atari released a third-party game that they just kicked out. They didn't take the time to develop. It was more like, we need this out by the holidays, and it was E.T. And Steven Spielberg just shit all over this game. It was awful. It was just awful. Everything about it, presentation, control, it's such a joke now. And they essentially destroyed themselves, Atari, as a company. And they took all their not sold ET games and put them in landfills. And there's a whole documentary about all of these mounds of ET games.
Because they found one a couple years ago that was forgotten about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could go find them, just the shittiest game.
Yeah.
And everyone thought it was a joke. And video games, it was a fad. I mean, it was like all fads. Pong. Yeah. Crazy Bones, Pokemon cards down the line of the years, Janko jeans, and all fads. And that was the dip-off. Nintendo released Famicom in 83, which is the Japanese equivalent to the Nintendo Entertainment System. It drew outstanding numbers, people loved it, and there was a resurgence in video games. Believe it or not, Sega released the Master System, which was before the Mega Drive, which is their version of the Genesis, in Japan before the NES.
Huh.
Then in 85... the Famicom became the Nintendo Entertainment System, debuted in North America,
yeah.
to revitalized the video game industry as a whole. Nintendo became the video game industry. Right. There was no... there. Sega's Master System, although it was out, no one cared about it. It was... the quality was not there, and
so it's kind of similar to the ones that came out in the late 70s.
Yeah, exactly.
And then comes 1988, late 1988, 3 years later, almost to the day, like a couple weeks from to the day of the Famicom's American release, Sega Genesis.
Yes, Mega the Drive Sega Genesis, out. And this is great, and I want to touch base on this. For all of us, the Sega Genesis truly did not come out until 91, when mm-hmm. Sonic was created, and the Genesis was packaged with Sonic. That's when the, quote, true release of the Genesis was, mm-hmm. And that sparked the console war. But people forget that the Genesis was out earlier, and it was packaged with Altered Beasts, a great arcade game, anyone's ever played it.
Altered
Rise Beast. From Your Grave, like, iconic just voice over there. But yeah, the Genesis had a longer lifespan, which people don't realize because you're so focused on Sonic, which came later. There really wasn't a great lineup of games. It was a sport console.
Yeah.
All sport games, EA specialized and published them all on the Genesis because it again goes back to third-party support. Yeah. Nintendo didn't have that. Nintendo wanted to release games themselves and control the market. And video game publishers hated that, and developers, they hated the restrictions.
Yeah.
That's why they floated to Genesis, and that's why the Genesis library was just so grand.
Right.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Towards the end of the life cycle of both consoles.
Yeah. And in Genesis, you could play as the Velociraptor or as the human. And in Genesis, there was blood.
Of course. Yeah. It was a console.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the Genesis is so pretty compared to like old Super Nintendo or old original Nintendo games.
Of course,
you know, and it comes out 2 years before the Super Nintendo is there. So these graphics are available. You know, of course, people who care about that are going to gravitate sooner, but that's going to be a niche group because that's not what's being advertised. That's not what's being rapped about on your television screen.
Being rapped about, marketing for Sega.
Oh, yeah.
Hats off to those guys. Some of the greatest commercials came from Sega, and you don't
just
really...
the video games in general.
In general.
But... Sega.
Sega.
Sega does what Nintendo don't. That was their cornerstone of the 90s, and they focused in on like. They were hip cool. They were the punk system, and you had Nintendo. They stuck to what they know best, which is making great games, and they let their games speak. They didn't have the best commercials. They rode the coattails of Mario being Mickey Mouse,
right?
And this being a genuine family, you know, experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of IPs, you know, get sequels and things like that through Nintendo that don't necessarily have a lot of sequels. Through Sega. I mean, there's plenty of sequels on Sega. Shinobi's got sequels. Mortal Kombat.
Streets of Rage.
But those aren't, you know, you don't think, oh yeah, those are some Sega titles. You think Sega, you're like, what's Sonic up to? You know, that's their Mickey Mouse. And Sonic's kind of a punk.
Why are you're forgetting about Echo, my friend.
Oh,
the dolphin?
The greatest dolphin. Flipper had no chance. Echo saved lives. He saved his family. The ecosystem was... more
dare you say place. the ecosystem
puns are great. I mean it was Sonic, and what was Sonic doing? But fun fact about Sonic: when Japan proposed the character Sonic, he was supposed to be an edgy rock star with fangs looking like a vampire, and there's a famous picture, you gotta find it. He had a girlfriend named Madonna. It was this, you
of
know,
course.
Buxom blonde beauty, mm-hmm. and
Roger Rabbit-esque.
Yeah, in this. But more hardcore. Like Sonic was hardcore, and they presented it to Tom Kalinske and Sega of America, and Sega of America was like, "There's no way that this is gonna sell," and so they did an overhaul on the character. Thank God, that's what the Sonic we got. He was the icon of Sega, and that was what drove. Console sales was Sonic. Sega. Sonic 2 came out and just on Sonic Tuesday.
Suddenly you got Tails, Sonic Tuesday.
Yeah, that was the birth. I mean, we're talking about Nintendo. Nintendo did. They started. They jump started the resurgence of video games. Mm-hmm. They became the Apple to the video game industry.
It seems like Sega held Nintendo accountable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Nintendo had to keep stepping up their game because otherwise nothing else was going to fight them off.
Sega, around 93, owned 55 to 60% of the market share for video games. They were, there was a point, if they decided not to do all their add-ons and go down this horrible route that they did, there was a point where Sega almost overtook Nintendo and became the face of video games. Okay. More households owned a Genesis. Towards the, you know, 93, 94, more of the back end of the life cycles.
Was the Genesis more affordable?
It was. It was. They were the first ones to drop prices. Nintendo had to answer.
Elasticity.
Yeah, you had
to. Market elasticity. If it's going to go down and you can, and more people will buy it if you lower the price.
They were the first ones.
By that much, you should figure that out. And Nintendo still hasn't dropped the price below $50 for Skyward Sword.
Not at all.
That was like,
you don't see price drops with Nintendo.
Oh, no.
At all.
You still can get Mario Party for cheap.
No,
any of
can't.
Them. No. There's 8 of them now.
Same thing with Smash Brothers.
Yeah, you know. $30 still is like the base. And their classic games don't go under 20. The only way you'll ever find a Nintendo game is at GameStop under $20.
Used.
Yeah.
But hats off to them because, I mean, they put their foot in the ground. They don't move.
And they can do it and people still buy it. So,
exactly. Hey, well, it's essentially, and that's why Nintendo is the Disney or the Apple. People will buy it no matter what. You will have your fanboys, which we're gonna, you know, dive deeper in, and
I don't want to dive deep in any fanboys.
hands deep in fanboys.
Yes, we'll get to fanboys soon.
Loving them fanboys.
So at this point, now we have Sega Genesis versus the Nintendo.
Oh, the famous Nintendo console wars. Yes.
Steps it up and says, you know what? How about some more bits? And we get the Super Nintendo. And that's really the fight is Genesis versus the Super Nintendo.
That was the fight.
No one's going, oh man, that Genesis really, you know, or that Nintendo really kicks the ass of the Sega Genesis. No one thinks that original Zelda looks better than Altered Beast. But the games you're going to see on the Super Nintendo do give the games on the Genesis a run for their money.
Exactly. While the Genesis was pumping out a lot of sport games, third-party titles, and arcade ports, you had Nintendo focusing, again, on the quality of the games, the Nintendo seal.
Some original stuff.
That little fold-up corner that says only for Nintendo.
Yes, there you go.
And Nintendo, that's kind of a big F you to the Sega Genesis because, you know, so many times you're like, wait a minute, I can only get that game on yada yada system?
Well, Genesis followed trend and added their own seal, too, a Genesis seal of approval, which wasn't to the same effect as what Nintendo had.
Right.
But the way Nintendo stayed in competition when Sega was up in the market share, just because out of sheer like price point and everything, I think that's the majority of where it was, the quality of games. It was marketed as a slower console, though, which is hilarious because it had, believe it or not, if you do a comparison in specs, and I'm not somebody who goes too deep on that, you get more colors with the Super Nintendo. It actually looks, games supposed to look prettier on the Super Nintendo versus Genesis. Huh. Genesis had to float around the word blast processing. Have you guys heard of blast?
No.
So that was what their market ploy, that the Genesis had blast processing, which was nothing. It was just like their processor could go faster. That's it.
Fancy word.
But it didn't do anything. It was just a lie, essentially. And people bought into it. They're like, oh, well, I'm getting the Genesis because it has blast processing. My games are better looking.
Well, but you look at how you play Super Mario World versus how you play Sonic.
Well, you're flying through Sonic. And then
Sonic, you have to go fast. If you try to go methodically through Sonic, like if you try to go through Sonic the way you play Super Mario World the first time, like, you're going to have a bad time.
No, it's not.
You're going to run into something, you know, you're going to find yourself needing to get up some hill that you can't get up anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas Mario, you try to run through that fast and, like, you're going to fall down a pit.
Yep.
You know, there's just, like, Sega markets itself as, like, the fast way of the future. And Nintendo's like, hey, come get some quality stuff and have a sit down and enjoy yourself.
They're a traditional company that's been around in the 1800s and playing cards.
At this point, for 100 years when the Super Nintendo comes out.
Yep, of course. We see Sega now as an arcade company, first and foremost. They're out of the console race. They're essentially what you see at GameStop, Dave & Buster's, all their machines. They continue because they were an arcade company. Majority of the Genesis library are ports of arcade titles. You have Sega, who's been around 1800s. They did have some killer apps in the arcade space. Donkey Kong. That's how Nintendo got into video games as a whole.
Right. Introduced Mario.
Yeah,
I played Donkey Kong for the first time.
Jumpman. He didn't have a name
The first time I played Donkey Kong was on a Commodore 64.
Huh.
was on a cartridge, approximately the size of a small piece of toast.
And right. Fuck, kill, marry, Daisy, Pauline, Peach.
Which one's Pauline?
She's the one you save in Donkey Kong Arcade.
What?
One in the red dress.
Oh. Well, well, Daisy, Pauline, or who?
Peach.
Oh, Peach. Okay. Daisy.
So, it's a game. Fuck, kill, marry.
Okay. Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay, so we're killing Pauline, and we're going to get...
dirty.
We're going to get dirty with Daisy, and we'll marry Peach.
Yeah,
I mean, Peach is the end game for sure. Daisy, I think, was the first time I ever saw a girl in a movie where I was like, I don't know who that girl is.
Oh, my God, are we going to talk about that masterpiece?
Classic. I mean, I'm not entirely comfortable with the fact that I just played Fuck, Marry, Kill on my podcast, but if it leads us okay, so let's real quick.
Wrap this.
Lead up to this movie here.
Okay.
Sonic and Mario both have cartoons.
Yes.
Yeah. Sonic for sure has
Super
a comic
Mario
book.
Brothers Super Show. There he is.
Super Show.
Hey, paisanos.
There you go. So Super Mario has comics. Zelda has its own television.
Sega had
comics.
Or Sega. Sonic had comics.
No, Sonic,
before.
I had
Archie.
Sonic comics. Sonic That's has right. comics.
The Archie like, label.
Yeah. These guys all have comic books, and then they all have cartoons. And we start bridging. We got, you know, VHS tapes of these things. Eventually, someone says, let's make a movie. And it goes through a bajillion hands. It gets passed on through at least, like, I want to say more than five different writing and directing
teams. It was being rewritten while being in production. Yeah.
And the lead up to that point is ridiculous.
Bob Hoskins and Leguizamo were drunk half the time.
Oh, yeah. And or more. They were, Leguizamo was really fucked up during that movie.
There was a point, and again, I'm going back to the material of Console Wars.
Yeah.
Plugging it as, you know, not, I believe me, I have no relation to the author. I just honestly just finished it, so I'm kind of just like on that.
Still fresh
so,
in
so great. Excited. There was a point where I believe it was Bill White, who was like the marketing guy who like basically owned the movie and like helped push this movie out for Nintendo. There was a point where I can't pronounce whoever was the president at the time, and Nintendo was like, do we get rid of, or no, Bill White proposed this. He's like, do we get rid of the movie? Like, it's so bad at this point. Can we just, and like in press releases be like, oh, you know, something happened internally where we can't release this movie, or do we just let it go and cut our losses? And the head guy was just like, well, just cut it. He's like, look, it's everyone's going to flock to it because it's Nintendo. Everyone knows it's Super Mario. It's going to make money.
It's going to make
at
a little
end
bit
of the day.
Money. Yeah.
Just let
it
go.
I made my mom
we'll,
it
and we'll
once.
Write it off as a joke at, you know, afterwards. And that's what they did. And yeah. Cult classic. I love it. It's one of my favorite just throw on movies. And
I mean,
some great
I remember watching that movie and being like, that's not at all what a Goomba looks like. But the thing that made me the most angry
was I thought they were Koopas.
The downplay of Yoshi. Was what hurt me the most. Because I was a huge Yoshi fanboy.
Everybody was.
That's why I was so mad that it took me until I was 29 years old to get Super Mario World 2. Mm-hmm. But, like, Yoshi and all of the Yoshis that are in Super Mario RPG and, you know, coloring Yoshi on Mario Paint. Mm-hmm. Like, freaking love Yoshi.
What about the downplay at Toad? Toad just was like, he got captured, got thrown to jail, he got turned into a Goomba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember that? Come on, Brian. What are your memories of the Super Mario Brothers movie?
Yeah, how many times did you rent it?
Yeah.
Never.
You never did?
I don't think I ever rented it growing up because I was never really...
I remember...
It didn't look that good to me as a kid, and I was obsessed with
what do we know as
Ninja
kids?
Turtles at the time.
But that was a masterpiece, and I'm not I mean, that's another
that's
podcast
a whole
episode.
Thing.
We'll,
right.
We'll go into the Turtles.
But I think... Because I remember... I mean, I think I watched it at, like, friends' places, but I was never fully into it, so, like, I don't remember.
I remember distinctly being attracted to Daisy, and I remember distinctly being, like, both mystified by the fact that Yoshi, like, existed and disappointed that he wasn't big enough to ride.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that the Goombas and the fact that Koopa wasn't, you know, that he was a businessman, is just Dennis Hopper in a businessman outfit, like... That's really, really frustrating. Yeah. I don't know. I remember leaving it. I mean, leaving it. I remember walking back to my room after watching the movie and thinking to myself, like, that wasn't at all what I wanted. You know, I don't think I walked away being like, oh, that movie was terrible, never watching that again, because I didn't think like that. I was like, no, I can't. That's Mario. We love it. You know, but I remember walking away going, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I was hoping for. And I think that was one of the first times I was really ever disappointed in Nintendo, like where I was like, this is not okay.
Well, that's why you haven't seen a Nintendo movie.
They're thinking
of going back into the theatrical space, but I don't, we'll see.
It'll be a long time.
But they'll have full control. They'll have full control.
Oh, yeah. This ends up kind of being, that's the bubble, I feel like. When the bubble finally bursts, we can't do everything with our IPs.
No, anymore. Not at all. And then they, yeah, that was they more towards the back.
They dialed back. Oh, they lost a lot of market share, I feel like, for that, too. I feel like
that's when they buckled down and they're like, we're games first and foremost. Let's look into new technology, i.e. Star Fox.
So they put in this chip into the game. Chip, we've got, or whatever it's the FX chip.
Yes.
Right? It goes into Stunt Race FX, and it goes into Star Fox, and I don't
Pilot
know.
Wings.
And
no, the, wait, no, no Pilot Wings didn't have it.
Pilot Wings was still...
It just utilized the 3D effects that Super Nintendo were they was capable of.
Yeah. Yeah, but the FX chip goes into these two games, and you've got polygons moving much the same way they do for the 64 later on. And then
it was about that time
some PC games.
And we're also coming to a point where the 64 is getting ready to be released.
Well, they were that was when they proposed and signed a board with Silicon Graphics and the Project Reality was going on, aka the 64 behind closed doors.
Right.
Which is supposed to be honestly a more powerful console than what was released.
Right.
Was what they were promising at E3 and Consumer Electronics Expos and so forth. But it was that time when they, after the movie, right, the bubble burst and they're like, let's take a step back, let's release quality games. They signed a huge deal with the UK with Rare. Donkey Kong Country dropped the
when Donkey Kong Country dropped the mic released, it was
game over by Genesis
I mean, he just has so much depth to it. He was in 3D. I mean, well, I mean, really, he's a side scroller, but he's in 3D.
It really made use of the console's system itself and how much power it actually had.
The color is what makes it too.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It's vivid. I mean, Donkey Kong in that game over screen, like there's so much to the shading because you can do so much with that shading, and you're on a system that's also like 2 years younger than that Genesis that can possibly do. Like it's good by Genesis. For sure. And then they release a sequel. And then another sequel.
They milked it. And which is funny is I can't pronounce Japanese last name. Akawa? A-K-A-W-A.
Akawa.
Yeah, Akawa thought that was what, when Rare was developing Donkey Kong Country, he went in to go see the first, first bits of it. And he thought that's what the Nintendo 64 was. It was a game for the Nintendo 64. And the head of Rare was like, oh, no, sir. This is Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And his jaw dropped. Like, the fact that we could still do this on this system. Yeah.
And that's something that I think a lot of people don't realize with game systems is while they're never supposed to go backwards, those first launch titles and things like that do not touch what those systems are capable of.
Oh, yeah.
Nearly not at
all. And I think that's what helped the Super Nintendo stick around for so long, because once Donkey Kong Country came out, everybody realized, like, oh, we can actually push the processing and the graphics on this console.
Yeah.
Well, let's just do that a little bit more. And that, because the Super Nintendo was out for years before.
96 was when the 64 came out, and that was the last year that any games came out for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I remember going to Best Buy, right, when I got my 64, when I was getting 64 games, they had demos going out of Donkey Kong Country 3. And, that, going back, me being the Genesis kid that I was, like, I was just wanted a Super Nintendo so badly. My parents never got it for me until my next console was the N64, which brought me into the Nintendo space. But I think that's why I waited out all night and day to get the Super Nintendo Classic, was because I never got to buy the console. I mean, granted,
I just got a
new Super Nintendo in the classic box. Granted, two times as small.
But more than that, you got that Super Nintendo brand new with a new game that none of us have played.
Oh, yeah. Star Fox 2.
Because you have Star Fox 2, which Star Fox 2 is such a cool concept because Star Fox 2 was supposed to be released and then the 64 came out.
Yeah.
They took a bunch of aspects of Star Fox 2 and they said, let's put them into a 64 game. We'll use it. We'll advertise the Rumble Pack with it. and suddenly your controller's going to vibrate, which is now like a standard feature on games. When the PlayStation 3 said, we can't do a vibrating controller because of the six axis, everyone said, one, you're lying, and two, like, then I don't want it. I want a game that I want my system to vibrate. And
360 flourished because
and of the 360 really went ahead because of this, because of this technology that you clicked into your game system on a 64 on that terrible controller. Oh, yeah. But so the Star Fox 2 game never gets released, and then they release this classic, and now Star Fox 2 is out. And the team got back together, and they like went and had a drink to celebrate it, and like posted on Reddit and saying like, "Thanks, guys, we did it."
That's fantastic.
That's pretty cool.
This is a great segue to just talk about Nintendo and their whole fan base. It's
I actually really would like to get to the point of Nintendo into the GameCube and where they kind of fall apart.
Okay.
So, but before we do, I think this is actually a really good place to cut for the week. Just because we're already at an hour now, I'd rather not go too long. I'd be
down for a two-parter.
So let's cut it off right now before the end of the week. Are you playing anything new right now?
I'm playing, jeez, new, yeah, I mean, Destiny 2, I picked that up for the PlayStation 4.
Are you liking it?
I am. I was a big fan of Destiny. I didn't get the expansions. Once I beat Destiny and, like, max out my character level, I kind of just dropped off and was like, yeah, okay. I am a collector first and foremost. I love video games. I'm a retro gamer at heart. I go back and play my back libraries. I just don't have enough time to just sit and, you know, for a week and, like, play through a game, unless I really want to. The last game I ever played through, like, couldn't, like, one sitting was BioShock Infinite.
Oh, BioShock Infinite was so good.
The story.
That's a long time ago,
though. And then I had to call my buddy Steve at 3 in the morning Pacific time, so 5 in the morning Central, like, what the hell was that ending? Like,
what does it mean?
You need to explain what is going on here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I didn't have that experience. But games as a whole, I'm a gamer through and through. I just, you know, for me, and that's what I love about retro gaming is Super Nintendo Classic, you could play 20 minutes of Donkey Kong Country, save and leave. Like, you could just pick it up and go. Yeah. Whereas now you actually have to fully immerse yourself, same i.e. Destiny or any of the Elder Scroll games. Like, you really have to sit down and play through The Witcher and so forth. Which is great.
Well, and there's so much going on. If you don't, you're going to be confused every time you get back on.
And then I feel like I'm behind. There's a great subreddit called the Patient Gamer subreddit, where it's people who just play games that have already long come out and beat them and then talk about their experience.
Oh my gosh, that's totally me. I need the subreddit in my life.
It's Patient
Gamer. Gamer. We're all joining. Yes,
I'm down. I'm on it. I'm on it, and I love it, and that's why I have like Games with Gold on Xbox, so I could go back and play like Borderlands. And...
Oh, nice, yeah.
Dude, I'm still working my way through Borderlands 2, and I didn't start it until it went up on that flash sale last November. I loved it so much, I bought it for every single sibling in my family that played. Like, if they had a PlayStation 3, they got a copy of it because I wanted people to play with on that game, and no one was playing it anymore. You know. Yeah. All right, Brian, are you playing any new games?
Yeah. I picked up, well, I downloaded the Monster Hunter demo for the new game that just came out, and it was pretty fun. I might pick that up. But Clay and I, my roommate, have been playing through the Battlefront that was out 2 years ago.
Oh, the new Battlefront. Wait.
The newer Battlefront.
On the Xbox One?
On Xbox One.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The one that kind of just fizzled out.
Yeah. So it was cool at first. It has, like, six planets and a few, like...
So you're basically levels. Just dropping in and playing various levels. You're not playing through a plot. You're not playing. No, not at all.
Yeah. So
because there's no plot on that game.
No,
so.
But we're definitely gearing up for the release of Battlefront 2, which is out next month. No, it's October. It's next month.
Yeah, it's this month. It's October 1st is the time we're recording this.
Yeah, so we're super stoked on that. So that's definitely going to happen when it gets here. And then what else am I playing through? I'm still playing through Marvel Lego Super Heroes.
Great game.
Oh, it's so much fun. I think that's pretty much it right now.
Bryce?
What are you playing?
Give
me three games you're playing, because you know you're playing like 20
games. Oh, I'm always playing a million things at once. I just beat Mega Man X3 for the first time in my life. Like,
congrats.
It took so long. I couldn't beat it on the Super Nintendo. I couldn't beat it on the PlayStation 2. And then, like, I managed to... finally sit down a while back and be like, I'm going to take care of this. And it was like my brain had been working on this problem forever. So once I was finished with that, I jumped back onto Super Mario World 2, which I also never played until I was 29. And so I'm playing Super Mario World 2 right now. And then I'm also still working through the Order 1886, which I only play for a little bit at a time. So it's taken me a long time to do it, while most people beat it in like 4 hours.
That's me and Watch Dogs.
Right, I'm like, now, yeah, I'll play a little bit more of this today, and I'll play it for like 15, 20 minutes, Chicago, and then I'll set it back down. So that's what I'm doing. So anyway, thanks so much for listening to us, guys.
Yeah.
Please like, comment, subscribe.
All that good stuff.
High five.
We would love for we would love for you guys to review if you can, because it really helps us out. You know, if you've got the 5-star review, it'll help us down the line, especially with getting some more exposure to this podcast. And please, if you like the show, tell your friends, and if you hate the show, tell your enemies.
Yeah. All right. Join us next week. We'll be finishing up our conversation here.
Yes, sir.
We'll get into like when, because now we're kind of at the peak of Nintendo.
Yeah, we're about to start watching 90s, it crumble.
And now we're gonna see it kind of drop down quite a bit. See the increase of PC gaming, the other consoles, Microsoft coming out, Sony coming out, and them kind of taking over.
And then we can talk about the key thing is what's going on with Nintendo now, and why are they kicking so much ass?
Oh yeah, Nintendo comes back
with a vengeance.
Switch. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
for sure. All right, thank you guys so much. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Or yeah, whatever. Is it daytime?
It's 5.
Whatever they're listening to, just say bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Later,
bye.
I guess.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. We will see you all next week.